You are listening to the Voice of the Arts, WQED-FM. Jim Cunningham with you. Here are composer Robert Schultz and pianist Tina Fagan, who are presenting Music for Food. The event takes place on Saturday, the 23rd of March at 3 p.m., James Laughlin Music Center at Chatham University. Music by Robert Schultz. The composer himself is here, and the two of you have such a beautiful artistic collaboration. Thank you for coming in and playing two of Robert Schultz's pieces. Tina, it sounded magnificent. Really
Thank
great.
You so much. I'm so pleased to be here.
Now, tell me how this concert came together.
Something we've done a few times before. We're calling this Schultz, Fagan, and Friends, the third. And actually, in the two previous versions that we've done some years ago since we came to Pittsburgh, WQED's Anna Singer performed on both of those some song sets. And so, you know, it's something we want to do to keep us introduced to Pittsburgh audiences and to let them hear my music. It's a little unusual, I think, to do an entire program by one composer, but we seem to be able to make it work.
What do you think of the music on the program, Tina?
Actually, I'm very excited about this entire program. There's a lot of very interesting piano music on it, but we also have flute for this program. And for me, this is stepping into a little bit of a different realm because I'm also going to be playing violin on this program.
Nice. We hear you as the principal second of the Edgewood Symphony.
Yes, that is true.
And you've done that for how many years? Quite a while now.
As a matter of fact, today is my 10th anniversary of joining the ESO. Exactly on today.
The orchestra's going from strength to strength. I think you're doing wonderful things, that's for sure.
Well, the conductor of that orchestra, Walter Morales, is also a phenomenal pianist, and he is joining us on this Schultz, Fagan, and Friends program to play a set of pieces for left hand that I'm actually very excited about. I can't wait to play the pieces myself, but I'm letting Walter do those first, Walter Morales.
And you have Yi-Ha Chu involved.
Yes.
What's she going to play?
She's playing Echoes, a beautiful piece for solo piano.
And you have a flutist involved. It's supposed to be your brother, but he's not able to join you.
That's correct. Yeah. The piece that's on the program is called Terraces. It's for flute and piano. And I wrote this for him just recently in the hopes that he would be able to join us, but he's unable to attend. But a good friend of ours and the principal flutist for the Edgewood Orchestra, Peggy Greb, had already learned the piece, and she's willing and happy to step in to do it. She's going to be playing the piece next season in another version with string orchestra, so she'll be doing it with the Edgewood Symphony then. So she's happy to join us and fill in.
Tell me about the two pieces that you've just recorded, Arabesque and Veiled.
These are both solo piano works, sort of a bit of a different language than some of the earlier works. Everything on this program has been written during the last number of years, actually since the pandemic. Now, all of this material has been written, and Robert has a bit of a different style kind of coming in, and I'm very excited about it. It's a colorful, ethereal, as always, great use of the whole instrument and very pianistic, but there's this opportunity to make tremendous color with this.
Arabesque. Did you choose it because it gives you freedom of form? I think of Schumann and Debussy when I hear Arabesque as a title.
Well, I've wanted. This is a piece when I started it, and of course, for me, very often titles come later. They're not something that precedes the writing of the piece, but I knew it had this kind of filigree writing that was integral to the piece, and so at some point the title just made sense, and I think it's a good fit for the piece. It's got a lot of two-voice writing, but a very attractive accompaniment part that kind of goes throughout the piece.
Thank you.
Composers never like to be asked about their influences, or often they don't. But is there some Debussy influence on your work?
Well, I think so. I've always been, ever since I've been a musician, I've been very attracted to impressionistic music and also music of the Russian composers. So I think they're probably in more modern music. I allow myself to be somewhat influenced by it. I like the harmonic scheme, and I like to think that I've been able to further develop it in my own writing and that it's original. I strive for that, so I'm careful not to allow any too direct influences in.
Robert Schultz, tell me a little bit more about Veiled. It seems like an accurate title in that it's gentle and quiet and contemplative music.
Well, this is another one of these pieces that that I wrote during these last 3 years that, once again, the title came later. But I feel like it's a very expressive and colorful piece, as is usual for me. It's in deals with a lot of minor, colorful, rich harmonies and very expressive melodic material. One thing I'll mention is that all of the solo piano pieces on the program are things that I wrote specifically for the people who were playing them. So these two pieces were written for Tina. The piece for Yiha Chu, Echoes, is a piece that I wrote for her. And this is something I wanted to do during this pandemic period of time, was to write for some Pittsburgh musicians who have been very supportive of my music. So the set for Walter Morales, named Colorscape, which is six pieces for the left hand alone. He actually requested this for a program he was doing of just left hand music. And Mark Carver is playing a solo piece, Toccata, that is something that he requested. And Mark is another person who has played a lot of my music, and I'd never written anything just for him. So everybody kind of gets their own personal Robert Schultz piece for this program. Thank you.
Mark Carver's a wonderful musician. Did you meet him through Carnegie Mellon University? How did you cross paths, first of all?
Mark and I are old friends. We always competed against one another as children growing up. So I call him the keeper of my memories. He remembers everything I played and competed with for every competition that we ever did together. So we've been longtime friends.
And because we're on the Carnegie Mellon campus, I always feel silly asking this, but is he still at CMU? What's he doing now?
Oh, yes. Yeah. He's running the collaborative piano department there.
And you were teaching in the prep school at CMU. Are you still doing that work?
I still am there. My primary work is on the faculty at Pitt, teaching piano at Pitt.
Tina, what would you like folks to know about Robert Schultz's music? That he's too shy. He hides his light under a basket, you know. He should shine it more, because I think his music is amazing. What do you think people want to know about Robert's music?
It is amazing. He's written, you know, symphonies, choral works, song cycles, chamber music. He wrote for, I have a trio, Zafiro Trio. He wrote two major works for us. He's written a sonata for violin and piano that I'll be playing with Catherine Cho next season. That's a multi-movement work. It's big. It's tremendous, you know, and his style really encapsulates a lot of style in it. You know, he has the, I talked about the ethereal things that are in some of the program here, but there's also very modern sounds, and I'll be closing the program with a piece that's dynamic, and it's called Pursuit, which I think just, you know, sort of says what to expect. There's such a broad range, and I certainly feel privileged to have gotten to work with a composer like this through all of these years. As a pianist growing up and going through all my schooling and my graduate programs, I do Brahms and Chopin, and I do all of that, but I never anticipated having a lifetime of working with a composer in real time and getting to participate in this. And it's tremendous.
What happens at home when he's working on the music? Do you hear bits and pieces of tunes
and
melody and
attention.
Say, oh, that's nice, Robert?
No.
I like that. Like Elgar and his wife, you know, didn't she say, oh, Adieu, that's beautiful, do something with that? I don't know. You two of you don't collaborate that way?
Not that way. We have our space. You know, you can't listen constantly to what's going on. So we have our own space away from that. But Robert does always bring something to me to look at. And I mean, I went for months not even knowing he was writing a symphony. He was writing, he was up in the studio writing a symphony. I thought, you're writing a symphony. You know, I finally found out about it.
Robert, does it make you crazy? You've done this fantastic amount of work, widely, highly regarded, but very early on in your career, the thing that is most broadly known about you happened organically. You were in Columbia Pictures writing all these transcriptions of the music that they had acquired for their catalog, and it brought you to great fame everywhere in the piano world. Yes?
Well, it was a great opportunity for me, and it just kind of it's something that I kind of fell into. I had moved to Miami, Florida after my schooling at West Virginia University, and without anything to do. Just moved there kind of because I felt like doing it. And I discovered this publishing company there, Columbia Pictures Publications. And I just showed up one day and met the music director there, someone my age, is named Dan Coates. And he put me to work doing some arrangements and liked the work right away and asked me to join the staff. Dan left a few months later, and I became the music director and the featured piano writer, and spent the next 10 years writing about 3,000 piano arrangements of popular music and movie music, TV themes, and developed a big library of editions for teachers to use with students and amateur pianists and professional pianists to play hopefully well-written arrangements of popular music. So that I was also writing some original music at the time. I developed a series called the Future Artist Series that was educational original music for piano. And but since I've moved away from that job, since Tina and I moved back to Pittsburgh in 2008, I've been happy to focus almost entirely on serious concert music, writing for Tina and other professional musicians here. And, of course, Pittsburgh has turned out to be a great choice for us because there's so much music. I have no trouble getting things performed here. It just feels wonderful.
Tina, have you played all 2,500 arrangements?
Not
yet?
No.
You're working on it.
Working on it.
Yeah. What are the arrangements that are played most often? I think of your classical arrangements like the Pachelbel Canon. You know, you did a lot of classical greatest hits in piano arrangements. They must be played a lot.
Well, actually, they are. The Canon in D, the advanced piano arrangement of that I wrote was something I did very early, very shortly after becoming the music director at Columbia Pictures Publications. So that would have been about 1981 or 82, and the piece has been in print and continues to sell at an unbelievable rate ever since then. And it's owned by Alfred Publications now, and I can hardly believe that there are that many pianists out there that that still want to buy and play this, but it happens. And another one is the transcription that I did of the 18th variation from the Rachmaninoff Rhapsody on a theme of Paganini. I wrote, everybody loves that particular variation, but in the original version, in the big, more bombastic section of it, Rachmaninoff gave chords to the piano, and the orchestra has the theme. So I wrote a transcription that allows the pianist to do all of that, to have both the primary gorgeous theme and the power of the orchestra. And people seem to like that a lot. So it kind of sells like hotcakes.
We still enjoy playing your recordings of the transcription. When is Volume 2 coming, Tina? You've got to get to work on another album.
That's
of transcriptions.
True. There are more transcriptions that I do need to record.
Please. Yeah. Now, of the pop songs, what would people know the pop songs that you transcribe?
Well, this went all the way back to things like the theme from Ice Castles by Marvin Hamlisch and Hill Street Blues, and those were some of the early ones that kind of helped me to establish my name because they just happened to be the big pop hits at the time. But I've done, you know, a lot of songs by Billy Joel and Stevie Wonder and even some things more recently, and you know, some of the Star Wars themes, a lot of movie music. So it's a pretty eclectic library. Some of that comes and disappeared relatively quickly, as top 100 songs do. But some other things stick around. The piano duet arrangements that I wrote of a lot of the well-known music from the themes from Star Wars continues to sell. So.
And I hope your agent worked on favorable terms so that every time one plays, 2 cents come into your account.
Well, much less than that,
oh,
actually.
No. But, well,
we're musicians, so nobody's rich. We may
understood. Understood. Not everyone has John Williams' agent, I guess, either.
Right.
That's part of the problem. You two amaze me with the contribution that you have made. And I have to ask you, Tina, an update on the family because it's so broad. You said it's on your website. So if I want to know how you're related to Natalie Phillips and Fern Fagan and Charles Abramovic and everybody, somehow I can figure it out looking at your website.
Absolutely. Yeah, tinafagan.com. I have a whole thing there because my family is just full of musicians, all of the Phillips family, the Fagan family. My brother's a pianist. My sister's a violinist. And the Orion String Quartet, Todd and Danny Phillips are my first cousins, Natalie and Eugene Phillips. were my teachers and my aunt and uncle, so we were just full of musicians in my family.
It's wonderful for me, having had the opportunity and the honor of knowing a number of members of your family who've contributed so much. I still see Natalie at concerts, and Fern, at least at the end of last season, I know I saw them, maybe this past fall, too. But I knew your dad, your Uncle Gene sat right where you're sitting in this room and telling stories about, I don't know, the concertmaster of the Pittsburgh Symphony that was famous during Reiner's day, whether that was Hugo Kohlberg or other people that he knew personally. It was unbelievable. And then as a composer, have you looked at the complete works of Eugene Phillips yet, Robert?
Yeah, I have. I actually did finale engravings of some of Eugene's later works and some things that he was writing for the Orion Quartet. And So we kind of worked together for some period of his life after Tina and I had moved back to Pittsburgh. I have great respect for Eugene, and there's a good picture of him looking over the symphony. I showed it to him as soon as I'd finished it, and I loved hearing him talk about his days with the Pittsburgh Orchestra, conductors that he worked under and didn't like, and great stories.
He did it with such warmth and humor and depth of knowledge, too.
Absolutely.
So great.
And was a great violinist, violist.
And Daniel and Todd Phillips, what's up with these guys leaving the Orion String Quartet?
I know. Their final
retired.
Concert is coming up in New York.
Are you going? Are you going to be able to make it?
It has long since been sold out.
Oh,
so we would love to be there.
We enjoyed hearing them at Chamber Music Pittsburgh on so many occasions. And not too long ago, you got together. Was it a round number birthday for Natalie? I forget. There was a fair number of family members that were able to return to town.
Yes, that was for my mother's birthday. Yes, yeah, we had a kind of a reunion concert.
So. I'm glad that you were able to get family together, and I hope you can do that many more times. And we have gotten away from the topic of music for food. You are going to be contributing, or members of the audience who arrive will be contributing something to feed hungry people.
All of the cash donations go to benefit the Pittsburgh Food Bank. Music for Food is an initiative that's musician-led that started in New York with Kim Kashkashian. And Pittsburgh has become one of the pilot cities for that. And my cousin Catherine Cho tried to initiate this in Pittsburgh and came and did a couple of concerts. And there's a requirement to do 3 concerts in a city before you can become one of the contributors to the Music for Food program. And so at the 3rd program, when Catherine came, she and I did a program together. And so that established it. And Pauline Rovka at Chatham University has graciously continued this program through these years.
Wasn't there a Mozart birthday party that was also involved in the Music for Food
series? Yes,
that was very successful. Robert Schultz Music, Tina Fagan, Yiha Chu, Walter Morales, Mark Carver, and Peggy Greb, 3 o'clock, James Laughlin Music Center. Convivial space where you're all close to the audiences, near one another and the artists, so you can meet everybody and talk it over afterwards. Anything else that we should share about this wonderful event?
I think you've really covered it, Jim. We're just looking forward to it, as we have. We've put this off for a number of years because of the pandemic, and we felt like now would be a relatively safe time to try to mount the concert. And Pauline, of course, was happy to put it on the schedule. So we're thrilled with the program. I'm proud of the music that's going to be on it and the work that everyone's done to prepare it. And I think we're going to have a great day.
So it's pay as you wish.
Yes.
A contribution to the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank is appreciated, but you decide how much you'd like to give.
Exactly.
Tina Fagan, Robert Schultz, thanks so much for playing the music and for putting this event together and for coming by to talk it over. Joy
Thank
to
you,
see
Jim.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you.